Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
By the time you get to when I was born in 1980, it's just a coin flip. Only 50% of kids earn more than their parents do.
Today, it's hard to break out of the class that you're born into. Children of well-off families are likely to stay that way. Children of poor families are very likely to stay poor.
Two generations of my family were killed on the same day. They were assassinated for a choice they made. That decision brought our tribe to this land on the promise that it would be ours for as long as the waters run and the grass grows. But the United States didn't keep that promise.
Who's going to watch the kids while their partner is off racing mountain bikes?
Right? Yeah, you're a parent. You understand that intimately.
It's an all-day affair.
We'll feature samples today from documentaries, This Land, and The Gravel Lot. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us at Apple Podcasts. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Wiser Advisors, Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and writing, research, and curation support from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Well, knowledge is power. And this week's first podcast has knowledge to spare. From American Public Media Reports comes the documentary series. It's an in-depth look at a range of relevant topics like health, history, education, and justice. And with over 140 published programs, documentaries is the perfect place to get a crash course in nearly everything you're curious about. Wondering about the low availability of American mass transit or the reemergence of vocational education? Documentaries has the answer. Chances are they've got an episode to answer almost any of your burning questions. And with American politics and education growing more confusing and complicated by the day, you can trust APM's documentaries to provide you with just the facts and leave the judgment up to you. Here's a sample from a recent episode of Documentaries featuring the economic viability and value of a college education. As wealth disparity continues to grow in our country, many have looked to college as a conventional pathway to success and economic mobility. But just how beneficial is a college degree, and is it doing enough to help students from poor families get the same opportunities? Take a listen here.
Adam Carlesco grew up in Roanoke, Virginia. His dad worked in a hardware store, delivered pizzas, sold cell phones.
I look back on it, and I think that I wasn't hungry, that I wasn't poor. But then I talked to my mom, and she's like, oh, you know, there were a couple times the lights got shut off and stuff like that.
They shopped for their clothes at thrift stores. His parents hadn't gone to college. They told him he had to.
There were, I think, one or two times that I joked. I was like, well, maybe I just won't go to college. And they were like, don't you even joke about that.
So Adam did what most young Americans do now when they graduate from high school. He went to college.
Now, more than ever, a college education is a necessity.
America will need at least 4 million college graduates by 2020.
That's why we help our students find careers and increase their earning potential.
It's not just colleges that sell the message that higher education is the way to move up. So do guidance counselors, politicians, economists, and parents. Adam Carlesco hoped a degree would mean financial security.
It just kind of wanted a basic sort of life where if a simple, you know, fee or something like that came up, I wasn't freaking out. I could easily cover it. I'd like to just have the regular road bumps smoothed out a bit.
In other words, he wanted to do better than his parents. It's the classic definition of the American dream. But kids doing better than their parents, does that really happen in America?
Look at the probability that a child grows up to earn more than his or her parents earned.
This is John Friedman. He's an economist at Brown University.
For kids born in the 1940s, they were almost guaranteed to achieve this level of success. About 90% of them grew up to earn more than their parents did.
But social mobility has been going down in America.
By the time you get to when I was born in 1980, it's just a coin flip. Only 50% of kids earn more than their parents do.
Today, it's hard to break out of the class that you're born into. Children of well-off families are likely to stay that way. Children of poor families are very likely to stay poor. A lot of people hope college will help them move up. But are colleges really helping people do better?
A sample of documentaries from American Public Media Reports. Take a deep dive into some of the most important issues facing Americans today with documentaries available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Patrick Murphy was convicted of murder by the state of Oklahoma in 2000, but defense attorneys soon discovered that his conviction may have been based on a lie. That's this week's featured new addition to the Podcast Central Library, This Land. Hosted by Rebecca Nagel, an Oklahoma journalist and citizen of the Cherokee Nation, This Land explores how a cut-and-dry murder case opened an investigation into half the land in Oklahoma and the treaty rights of five tribes. An 1839 assassination of a Cherokee leader and a 1999 murder case, two crimes nearly two centuries apart, provide the backbone to an upcoming 2019 Supreme Court decision that'll decide the fate of the land and the people who live there. Here's a sample from the first episode of This Land called The Case. In the episode, it lays out the seemingly ordinary murder case that eventually sent shockwaves through the state of Oklahoma. In this snippet, host Rebecca Nagel takes you through the land that's belonged to her family and her people for hundreds of years.
Nancy and I are standing on a small hill just outside of Jay, Oklahoma.
Everything's pretty messy because it's been muddy around here with all this rain we've had. I know.
To find us on a map, go to where Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Missouri meet. Then move your finger a little to the left, west, just into Oklahoma. Down in the valley below, cows are munching on grass. A creek cuts through the edge of the field. And because of the rain, everything is sparkling green.
You can see the jonquils over there. You can always tell an old house site because the jonquils are coming up. Everybody had jonquils.
Nancy is my cousin. It's her cattle pasture we're standing in. We're looking for the spot where a small house built in the 1830s once stood.
The blooms aren't out, but they'll survive. Yeah, they always do.
Jonquils are little yellow flowers, like daffodils. And even though the people who originally planted them are long gone, their green stems still poke out every spring on this same hill.
Okay, this is where we think the house was in this area.
This is where our great-great-great-grandfather lived, and it's also where he died. This land has belonged to my family for more than 180 years. It's Cherokee land.
Well, if you start with the ridges, Major Ridge, John Ridge, Flora, Carey, my grandfather, my mother, and me, seven generations.
Straight down the hill from us is the family cemetery. Nancy takes care of it. It sits just off a county road. Every half an hour, a car goes by. Otherwise, it's just us standing in front of our ancestors' graves.
Major Ridge was originally buried where he was killed, and about 1860-something, his body was moved up here.
Major Ridge was a Cherokee chief and leader in the early 1800s, at a time of great turmoil and change for our tribe. John was his son.
There was no stone put up for John Ridge because they were still afraid that somebody was going to come try to kill some more of the family.
Major Ridge and John Ridge, two generations of my family, were killed on the same day. They were assassinated for a choice they made. That decision brought our tribe to this land on the promise that it would be ours for as long as the waters run and the grass grows. But the United States didn't keep that promise.
A sample from the new Crooked Media podcast, This Land. You could follow along to find out what's at stake, the Trump administration's involvement, and how one unique case could result in the largest restoration of tribal land in U.S. history. That's This Land, newly available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Whether you're a beginner looking for a new summer hobby or a veteran of the mountain biking trails, the Gravel Lot is where your best rides begin and end. It's a great local podcast here in Cincinnati that's all about mountain biking, close to my heart. From interviews with pros and industry experts to mountain biking news to new trail recommendations, the Gravel Lot is the perfect podcast for mountain biking enthusiasts and novices alike. Get insider tips on how to improve your ride, hear the history of the bike industry, or listen to some wild stories from mountain biking vets as you immerse yourself in both the local and national scene. Here's a sample for you. A recent episode of the Gravel Lot featuring an interview with Tara Siplavi, an important figure in the mountain biking industry. She joins the show to talk about her long and storied history in the bike industry, as well as the future of diversity, inclusion, and accessibility in the cycling world. In this clip, she talks about barriers for getting into bike racing and how the industry can make things more interesting and accessible to the general public.
Whereas like a local crit, like we have a local crit here, the Hyde Park Blast, that I can, it's like a mile and a half from my house up a hill. I could literally ride my bike there and that would be my warm up for that race. And there's cross races that are the same way, that I could literally ride my bike to the local park, the local pocket park, to go do a cyclocross race. And it's like, when you start removing those barriers and making things a little bit simpler, it becomes like, okay, this is more doable. Plus, fact of the matter is, the mountain bike race, you see somebody once an hour, whereas a cyclocross race, you can see most of the race from driving by whatever road has the access road to the park. So you get more just random people that are like, why is my road blocked? Oh, there's a bike race. Well, annoyed, but they might go check it out.
Put on this race in Louisville, like in the middle of a community that have all these people who could want to check this thing out. And
right.
Then you could like charge people like $20 and fence it all off in their park.
Hey, I sense sarcasm there.
I just love it. No, but I think, you know, there's just so many barriers to bike racing in general, right? Where, for women, a lot of times it's, you know, childcare, right? Like who's going to watch the kids, while their partner is off racing mountain bikes, right?
Yeah, you're a parent. You understand that intimately.
It's an all day affair. And with a crit or something like that, okay, you got a crit. It's an hour away from your house. You got to be there an hour beforehand. You're talking about like a 4-hour investment. You're not talking about like this, like 12, 16, 18 hour investment of your life. And you can have that happen. And so I think those type of barriers allow a lot more community into it. People where you're in a more urban environment, a lot of people have to work on Saturdays, right? If you're racing a mountain bike race and you have to travel on Saturday to get to this thing so you could race it on Sunday morning, well, who can do that, right? Like if you have to work on Saturday. So I think that there's just a lot of these challenges in America. In general speaking, I think when I look here on the East Coast and I just see how the community builds it from within is really part of the thing that's great about it. Specifically what you see happening, just all the online chatter that happens, right? Like we all hate Twitter, but at the same time, we can't live without it as bike racers, because it's where bike racing happens.
Shockingly enough, yes, it is.
I know when you talk to folks in, specifically like in New York City, and I look at what like CRCA is doing, over there, now, and all the development leagues that they have, not just for like women, but also for like all different types of racers, that's helping to grow the sport on a different level. Yes. And of course, like we can go and say other things like really help grow the sport, like NICA or BMX or all the multitude of other things, CCAP up in Connecticut, you know, like I think, you know, Doug, like if you had, CCAP as a kid, you'd be really fast now, right? Like,
No, I don't think so. That doesn't help me at all. I think I'm in the best shape of my life, and that would not have changed.
I think all faster would have been more TBIs.
Yeah, I've already had a few. Yeah, thanks, John. Let's bring that up. Good.
The local podcast, The Gravel Lot. Discover your new favorite summer hobby with The Gravel Lot, available on WVXU's Podcast Central. To the charts we go. Our quite predictable visit to the most unpredictable charts, the Apple Podcast Charts by iTunescharts.net, to see what's hot around the country, besides the weather for this fourth holiday weekend. Debuting early in June, this podcast quickly climbed to the top of the charts and as of last week hit number one across the country. The podcast is called Culpable. Culpable explores unsettled cases where the people who seem to be deserving of blame have somehow eluded justice. Culpable investigates and shines a light with the hope of uncovering the truth, finding justice, and bringing closure to victims' families. And in just five episodes, Culpable is already topping the charts. To learn more, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter from the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more information about podcasts we like, check out Podcast Central at wvxu.org. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org or call us at 513-294-8030 and we'll add your voice to ours. For now, I'm Tripp Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.